KCX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth said that the Shangri-La dialogue in Singapore warned that China could be an imminent threat.
President Trump and the American people have an immense respect for the Chinese people and their civilization. But we will not be pushed out of this critical region. And we will not let our allies and partners be subordinated and intimidated.
Friday, President Trump announced that tariffs on steel and aluminum imports will double on June 4th to 50%. The Supreme Court allowed the Trump administration to continue moving forward with its plans to roll back the legal status for about 500,000 immigrants that was granted during the Biden administration. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, the former Democratic vice presidential nominee, told a Democratic group today in South Carolina the party's lost its way, including a big chunk of the working class. And air quality in the upper Midwest could be impacted today from wildfire smoke. This is ABC News. NBA star Zion Williamson's facing allegations of sexual, physical, emotional, and financial abuse during a years-long relationship with a woman who's filed a lawsuit in Los Angeles. ABC's Melissa Adon has more.
The civil complaint details two alleged incidents of rape taking place in 2020 in Beverly Hills, as well as accusations of strangulation, death threats to the plaintiff and her family, as well as physical abuse. Now, Williamson's attorney denies the allegations, calling the claims categorically false and reckless, adding that it appears to be an extortion attempt, which he says was reported to law enforcement.
A spokesperson for Williams's NBA team, the New Orleans Pelicans, deferred comment to Williamson's attorneys. An overturned truck near the Canadian border in Washington state led to the escape of about 250 million honeybees. Nobody was hurt. The bees are being allowed to rehive and find their queen. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Matt Miller, Milwaukee-based film critic. The film Sinners, the more distance I have from it, the more I liked it. Is that an Oscar film?
I think there is a love for what Sinners is doing, that a studio movie was this interesting and creative and thoughtful, but also entertaining. This is not the last you will hear about Sinners this year. I'd be shocked if it doesn't get a Best Picture nomination.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The John and Gordy Show.
They have quite a selection of hearing aids. They've got Bluetooth, of course, and AI. We're Android robots.
You've been assimilated into the Borg.
We are into the Borg. Be kind of cool.
The Borg hearing aid.
If they haven't, we should latch onto that. The John and Gordy Borg hearing aid devices at a special discount.
Weekday mornings, 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Wisconsin is known for its drinking culture, and women are at higher risk of negative health impacts than men, Judith Ruiz Branch reports.
Experts say alcohol impacts women differently than men, affecting every system in the body and potentially leading to hundreds of conditions, including cardiovascular diseases and some types of cancers. Dr. George Koob directs the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism. He says women absorb and metabolize alcohol differently and tend to have a higher blood alcohol level than men after consumption because of body water distribution.
The pathology associated with alcohol is just generally worse in women than in men and progress more quickly. Everything from emergency department visits, hospitalization, liver transplants, and even deaths among women compared to men.
And are more likely to self-medicate with alcohol. Nearly 30% of Wisconsin adults binge drink at least once per month. Koob notes that in the past 50 years, the prevalence of drinking for women has caught up to men, and some evidence suggests that women progress more quickly in the stages of addiction to alcohol than men. He advises being aware of any family history of alcohol use disorder, since addiction can have genetic and environmental components.
Alcohol is a social lubricant. It's an intricate part of our society, but its toxicity is dose dependent. So the more you drink, the more of the problems there are.
Research shows even one drink per day can increase a woman's risk for breast cancer by up to 15%. Currently, the U.S. dietary guidelines for women are one drink in a 24-hour period. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Okay, it is your girl, Brandi Grayson. On 92.7 FM, you're tuned in to the Black Conversion Show, and she sure does get it from her mama. Yes, rest in peace, mother. And today I have a special guest. I got a co-host in the house that's new to Black Conversion Show because, you know, Cousin Clyde and April, they just left me years ago. They don't even communicate. I think Clyde is still on the calendar invite. He just stopped answering. He just whatever. But it's okay. Today we have a special guest called Colin, right?
It's Colin.
Colin, yeah, correct me because I'm terrible with names. Hey, Colin, you want to introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do in this world.
Yeah, well, my name is Colin Bruschak, and I'm happy to be here. Thanks so much for having me on today. And I'm involved, mostly these days, I'm involved in what you call politics.
Okay.
And I think that's a fairly apt name for what happens in that world, but... I work for a state senator. I'm involved in the community here. I'm vice president of the neighborhood association that covers this area where the studio is.
Okay, downtown
Madison, and I'm lucky enough that I can live here.
Okay, period. Are you from Madison?
I was raised in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Born in Chicago. My parents brought me to Kenosha when I was 3 days old.
Okay.
Spent my whole life until age 18.
All right.
In Kenosha, then I moved to Madison.
So and I've how been old here ever are you? Since.
I'm almost 30 years old.
Okay. All right. You look a little young. Okay. Okay, Colin. And can I ask you, what's your race? How do you identify?
I identify as Black, but I'm really mixed race. My mom is Black. My dad is white.
Okay.
But
oh, that's a good topic, having a Black mama and a white daddy. Oh, my God.
Yep.
Oh, I love the spice. So we about to get into it today. So I just want y'all to know, I just did a post on Facebook and was like, hey, I need a co-host. And Colin was like, okay, I guess I'll join you. He was brave enough, you know. So I'm super excited to have you here with me today. Our topic is going to be probably all over the place. But the reason he's here, because we want to talk about and ask the question, does hetero cis men hate women? And we're not going to get into that quite yet, but you want to stay tuned for the tea. So what we want to first do here on the Black Conversion Show with your girl Brandi Grayson, hostess with the mostest, is just check in. We start our show every Saturday just checking in with the folks that are in the house. So I'm going to pass it to Luke, my white producer, one of my favorite people. Go ahead, Luke. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. It's wild to think that this weekend is already going to be June.
I know. So that is wild.
I'm trying to just get my head fully wrapped around that. Summer is here. It's been one of those. I love advocating for a 4-day work week.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just had a 4-day work week this past week. And it's like everybody tries to still do 5 days of work.
Yeah, and it doesn't work.
Right. It's insane. We got to change the mindset around it because anytime you see the studies of 4-day work weeks, they're like, it is good. It's successful. But anytime we have like a shortened week, like this past weekend with the Memorial Day holiday, it's just like, how does this work?
I know. How do I even get back into the rhythm of this?
Yeah.
All right, so I am excited, Luke, to see you at Urban Triage Black Brilliance Gala this weekend.
Coming up tonight.
Oh, that's right, tomorrow. Yeah, tonight.
Tonight. Well,
wait, what's today? Yeah, tonight. It's tonight.
Tonight. Yeah, it's right. Saturday morning right
May
now.
May 31st. Okay, so we're at the Overture Center for the Arts at 6 p.m. celebrating Black Brilliance, celebrating unsung heroes in our community. You can find an amazing article by Madison 365 describing the night, describing our honorees, our categories. Is going to be a night to remember. And I don't know if people have had the pleasure or going into or just being at the Overture Center, but it is so elegant and their food is so good. The whole room will turn red at night. It's just gonna be so good. I'm so excited. So the reason I brought up Luke, because y'all know Luke is one of my favorite white boys. Okay, so let's just say that and clear the air. But Luke, I am encouraging him to get a haircut by a Black barber so that his beard can be lined up. Okay, Luke, so no white cuts today, no cost cutters, okay?
Hey, whoa. I don't go to cost cutters anyways. No, let's just be clear. Like I stopped doing the great clips and all that stuff in high school. So no,
because we need his lining to be sharp, and we know the difference between the black barber fade and the other fade. Okay, there is some differences, and we want to encourage Luke, one of my favorite white boys, to get it right. Because y'all know I'm gonna take a picture with him tonight, and I'm gonna post it because y'all love Luke. Okay, so I just wanted to advertise that, and yeah. I cannot wait to meet your wife.
She's looking forward to it. She's very excited. She likes. We don't have a whole lot of reasons to get all dolled up and dressed up and stuff. So she's really looking forward to it.
That's awesome. So right, like, get dressed up, come and join us. We might have a couple tickets left tonight. I don't know. Check the website. Check my Facebook. I am Brandi Grayson, CEO, founder of Urban Triage. You're tuned into 92.7 FM, the Black Conversion Show, and we are celebrating Black Brilliance, raising funds for our agriculture initiatives. I don't know if y'all know this, but we teach people how to farm. We teach people how to grow food. We build garden beds throughout Dane County. We also teach people how to grow a specialty crop that we call hemp, cannabis, CBD, weed for others. And you know, and weed is defined by the level of THC. We do not put high levels of THC in our weed, but you know, it has to be legal, and we do have a permit, and we teach people how to grow and take it to the market. And I don't think there's any other nonprofit that does that, right, Luke? You know, telling people
well, for the longest time that it was illegal. Like, illegal. You couldn't do it. It was not a thing for right. A very long period of the state and the nation's history.
Right. So how revolutionary is that? Yeah. The black woman that likes to pee people off teaching black people how to grow weed. Come and join me. Okay. And check out the work group. It starts the first week of June. You can still sign up. $2,500 seed grants to folks who complete our course and class. And then you also get a weekly stipend and you get to eat. Like, we are, I think our agriculture director, Ruthanna, does amazing. I absolutely love this woman. She is a gift to us all. So shout out to Ruthanna for being the director of our agriculture program and all of our staff that support that program. And if y'all don't know, now you know, USDA was our funder, federal funds. It has all been cut from a lot of agriculture farmers across the state. So it's super important, imperative that we support organizations like Urban Triage, not just because I'm the founder, but because it's important that we continue to distribute free CSA produce boxes this summer and teach people how to grow their own food for sustainability. So anyway, we're going to get into the tea. I just wanted to, you know, brag on my white boy, Luke, and how he's about to get that flag cut for the Black Brilliance Gala this weekend. And shout out to Civic Media, the station that I am on right now. My boy Sage, one of the owners, I don't know how many owners they have. They might even just have one because Sage is the man. Okay. He also sits on my board, by the way, and he is a big sponsor of Urban Triage and the Black Brilliance Gala. So make sure you guys are supporting Civic Media because them is my people. Okay, so anyway, and shout out to MG&E Foundation, who also donated to Urban Triage for our gala, and the Orr Foundation. Y'all don't know the Orr Foundation, but the Orr Foundation knows Urban Triage, okay? They're forever supporting us. And on the personal level, they keep me from losing my mind. And I mean from, like, just the support, emotional support and administration support and all my white folks that be showing up and showing out for Urban Triage. I absolutely love y'all and appreciate y'all. So today on the Black Brilliant Show, we're going to discuss a few topics. Okay, so we're going to talk about 6-year-old boy that was shot over the week, shot himself. He got a hold of a gun, and there was some shooting at Penn Park. The question at Penn Park here in Madison, Wisconsin, is did this person shoot themselves or did someone shoot them? So we're going to get into that. And then we want to talk about Jasmine Crockett, representative. I love this black woman. She just be handing Trump his, you know what, but I can't say it on air because Luke is going to get mad at me. So, you know, maybe another day. But we're also going to talk about other politics that come up. But one of the things I want to start today with on the Black Brilliance Gala, the Black Brilliance Gala. Let's see, this is what happens when you're exhausted, okay?
I'm going to say, we didn't get it really here, a check-in from you. We heard excellent things
that's
that are
right,
coming with the
right.
Black Brilliance Gala this weekend.
That's
how are
right.
you doing, though, Brandi?
Oh, my God. How am I doing, Luke? Is that a trick question? I'm exhausted, so I can't, like, you know, I'm like a little kid right now. You know how kids, they get exhausted and all they do is act bad? Like, they run around, and then they keep smiling, and they're saying things, and they're acting like they got energy, but they don't, because I'm exhausted to the bones. I had to do our run of our show, the gala, First of all, it was due to the Overture Center on Monday, and I just got it to him last night. So Kelsey at the Overture Center is not happy with me. So just shout out to the Overture Center for being patient with me, because as we are organizing one of our biggest events of the year, I still have to work. I still have to do everything else I do. And some days I bite off more than I can chew. And managing staff, we're in the middle of audits and compliance, revamping all of our processes and structures to make sure that we are serving our community as efficiently and as best as we can while we go through a single audit. So let's just say life be lifing, but it's going to be all right. Okay, y'all. And I also want to bring up and touch on I always talk about urban triage being rooted and framed in transformative education, and how it is my job as someone who is considered a leader and consider themselves a leader to make sure that I am walking the walk and talking the talk. Integrity is everything to me. Taking care of myself is everything. Making sure I'm holding myself accountable when I show up outside of who I say I am being in the world. So this morning, Colin, I showed up outside of myself. So I showed up just not being who I say I wanted to be. And I mean, in the morning at like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, responding to someone who just was engaged in a conversation with me asking them about, hey, you guys are coming to receive your award. We haven't heard anything. And them basically being like, no, because we need different kind of support. You want to give us an award? You want to kind of exploit us? That wasn't their word. That's mine. That was my interpretation. But you're not helping us with money. You don't give us money. You're not helping us do this thing that we're doing for free in the community, but you want to give us an award. So I felt like I wanted to snap, you know? Mm-hmm. Have you ever been in that situation where you just wanted to, like, snap?
Oh, well, yeah, certainly. And were you still up, or had you woken up?
No,
so
I was
think
still
that
up
really
working.
Changes. So, you know, when you're up late, you're tired, it's time to go to bed, but you're still working on stuff.
Yeah.
That's much worse.
I think so too.
You wake up with a clear head, and even, you know, I'll often have stressful dreams, and I wake up. In fact, I had a dream last night that I was riding around the whole neighborhood, even though I lived here for the past 12 years, and I couldn't find the studio.
You just have anxiety for no reason.
Yeah, and I woke up, and I thought, oh, I know exactly where the studio is, and guess what? I showed up to the wrong office, but I was only a block away.
So you basically created your reality, right?
Yeah.
So I think you said something very important. You know, like, when you're exhausted, you actually don't show up as your best self, right?
Right.
You often get pulled into or have brain fog or engage in things that or show up in ways that's not your best self. So I'm going to acknowledge that for myself and be gentle with myself. And if you want more details about what that looks like, check out my Facebook, because I talked about it live this morning at 8 o'clock, and just being very intentional and recognizing that oftentimes the way people show up in our life is often a reflection of ourselves and a reflection of either us now or then. So I was saying that that person's response to saying like urban triage should be helping us more financially or more intentional and deliberately, I was like, that's how I used to show up. That's how I used to show up like years ago before I learned and accepted that don't nobody owe me nothing, right? And that also we don't know what leadership means for people and their own capacity and what they have to do and what they're carrying. And I used to be just like that. I used to get so mad at Black leaders in Madison. Like, y'all should be doing this. Y'all should be doing that, with no clue or context of what it really means to do the work that they're doing. And we have this really higher expectation for Black women in leadership and expectations we will never put on white women, white men, or even Black men in leadership. But anyway, we're going to get on that topic when we talk about, do men hate women? Do hetero hetero cis. Luke, what is hetero cis?
So hetero cis is if you're a man that is attracted to women, mm-hmm. and that you identify and were born male, mm-hmm. Is hetero cis.
Okay, so, and that's like, and you could be hetero cis woman too, right? So,
yes,
but
yes.
I just wanted to get some help there, because I'm losing my mind in this moment.
It's
here.
Good. We're here to help you,
the Black Conversion. So when we return, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk, do men hate women? And if they do, and whatever the answer is, I don't know the answer. I have my own opinion. Is it compounded in the Black community? Does it show up differently? And if it does show up differently, why? And how does the proximity to whiteness impact how we show up as women and as men? I can't wait to get into this and other politics out here. And for people known as Black, politics is our life. We can't be Black without politics. So stay tuned. tuned to the Black Conversion Show here on 92.7 FM with your girl Brandi Grayson and my co-host today,
Colin Burrishaw.
All right, be back in a sec.
Staples presents That Was Easy.
So I was taking my side hustle full time.
Bold move, my friend.
And I needed to find everything in one stop.
Like finding Bigfoot riding a unicorn.
Yes, so I hit the Staples Easy button. Staples had everything for a new office and print services for signs and brochures. Plus, Cindy, the Staples associate, helped me find the best tech for me.
Wait, no drama?
No, Staples made it easy.
For the products, services, and experts your business needs, Staples.
That was easy.
In-store, online, and on the app.
When you're having computer problems, you need a company you trust to get things working again, quickly and affordably. Madison Computer Works has been doing that for business and residential customers for decades. Our computer care plans take away the hassle of being without your computer or needing to bring it in for repair. Starting at only $10 a month, our local and friendly techs provide remote help and can fix most problems in just minutes. Call 608-231-8000 and sign up today. Madison Computer Works, computers that work for you.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Everybody wants the same thing from their mattress. A good night's rest, am I right? You need someone to listen to what you want and who knows the materials that will get you there. At Verlo, we're your friendly neighborhood mattress genius. American made, locally crafted. Welcome to Verlo.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Positive psychology coach Kira Sabin. It is great to have you back.
I love the idea of self-help, but there's also something called community help. We have become so divided. We've forgotten that our neighbor is really nice and makes great cookies and probably yes. has the same concerns on a daily basis that you do. I think that we think things have changed, and I think we're just have stopped talking to each other.
Catch the Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Okay. I think that's Beyonce, but I don't know what this is. Sounds like 777-007 music, but you are tuned in to the Black Conversion Show here on 92.7 FM, WMDX, with your girl, Brandi Grayson, the hostess with the mostest, and my co-host today,
Colin Burrishaw.
All right. We are so excited to have him in the house. Anybody that's brave enough to hang out with me, okay, we welcome you today. So prior to the break, we were just talking about everything, so...
Black Brilliant Scale Black updates.
Yeah, some good stuff. And what I want to go into, and if you guys ever miss the whole show, you can always check out Civic Media. There's a Facebook website where you can catch the recordings. Luke, is that right?
Yeah, so we'll post the videos on the Facebook and YouTube channels, as well as you can find the podcast at civicmedia.us. or wherever you get your podcasts. So if you are a podcast listener on Apple or Spotify, you can head over there, subscribe to Black Convergence on those platforms.
Okay, period. Thank you, Luke, for that. Sorry, y'all, I'm moving around. So if you hear my mic go in and out, I was trying to fix Facebook. To be transparent. But Colin, you're here today to co-host with me as we talk about mm-hmm. some difficult, complex type of topics. You know what I mean? With people have their own opinions and experiences. But before we get into this whole heterosis notion or idea or discussion, do men hate women? And if they do, how does it play out? And if they don't or whatever, what is the compounding impact for Black people? Or how does it show up differently for Black men? But before we get there, we're going to talk about Colin, because Colin just told me his mama Black and his daddy white. And I have my own opinions about that, Colin. Well, you know what? I'm not even going to give you my opinion, because then that might influence your answers to my questions. So I'm going to leave my opinion to my darn self until afterwards.
Sounds good.
So tell us, as a man, as someone who identifies as a Black man, how was it being raised by a Black mama and a white daddy?
Well, you know, I grew up in a loving household.
Yeah.
Both my mom and my dad were great parents to me, and it took me a while actually to start to understand race. And
yeah,
essentially,
yeah.
You know, the world, as I think most Black people realize, at some point that your race is something you're given by society. Mm-hmm. And I learned that kind of the hard way. And so if you asked me, say, when I was 5 years old, are you black or white? I may not have understood how to answer that question. Mm. But when I was 6, 7, 8 in school, in elementary school, getting more disciplined for the same type of behaviors.
Yeah.
And then there were things that I think were just lost on my father. He wasn't at all racist or, you know, intentionally ignorant, but there was things that my mom had to explain to him.
Right.
You know, if the police pull you over, he says, well, you don't have to answer any questions. My mom said, well,
it doesn't work that way for our black
child.
Right. Actually, you do, Colin. Actually, you do. And keep your darn hands on the steering wheel. Right.
You're better off.
Yeah.
You know, not letting the officer get annoyed with you, because that could lead to going in handcuffs, going down to jail. And it's something that I think my mom and me, as I grew up, had to try to explain
to your dad.
Yeah.
Now, what for you? What was the eye-opening moment in your life where you realized that I have to identify some kind of way? I have to choose. Is there like a moment where you were like, darn, I have to choose, and I never even thought about this before?
Yeah, there was a time when I went to the DMV as a kid, and I needed a state ID card because I think I was needed to go to Canada. And in those days, you didn't need a passport, but just a...
Well, we know that changed.
Right. And so at the time, the DMV was asking for your race. It's not printed. It's not printed on the driver's license or the ID card.
Uh-huh.
But they were asking that question anyway, and so I was asked the question, and my mom actually, I was fairly young, my mom deferred to me, and I think it was a tough question.
Yeah.
And it's a moment that sticks with me.
Yeah, and there's two things that come to mind. One, your mom allowed you to decide, and what was the conversation with your mom around race, and what made you, well, that's three questions, or two and a half, but what made you choose black?
Well, I think I chose black because... like I said, people...
The world chose it for you?
You know, I went to school and other... I went to a... I lived in a diverse neighborhood, but it was definitely mostly white people in Kenosha. And, classmates would tell me.
You're black.
You're black. You're different, you know?
You ain't like me, homie.
And then, get to, like, middle school age and then racial stereotypes.
Yeah.
People start to become aware of them watching television or just being out in society and then applying that
to you.
Yeah.
Now, my question to you, did you get to hang out with your black people? Like your mama family? Did you have dinner and you experience all the good food and stuff? How was that?
Well, it was always very good. My mom's family mostly is in the south side of Chicago.
Oh, okay. That's where I'm from. Okay.
All right.
That's why I kind of like you. All right.
Thanks. I started to prefer to go there for holidays, Thanksgiving and stuff.
And why? Because what we be doing? What makes a holiday different from black white holidays? Go ahead, Carl.
Well, I think one of the defining... I think I've only had a... In recent years, I think white people have started eating mac and cheese at Thanksgiving.
Okay.
But I think, for a time, I hadn't seen that.
He was missing the macaroni and cheese, Luke. He didn't want no casserole.
Yeah, that green bean casserole is no good. That's why I like take some just to, out of pity. But yeah, I skip over some of those casseroles.
Luke be trying to go to his black cousin house on holiday. Like, come on, baby, we going over to Tyrone's house. No, okay?
They've been gifted with a lot of different skills and gifts, but cooking's not my cousin's thing. It's not my cousin's thing, no.
Okay, so I just want to point out that we're going to get back to your conversation on growing up in a mixed race household. And I do want to talk about, in my opinion, the different... I wish we had a biracial person here that identifies as black and has a white mother. Because I think for me, it matters from what I've experienced with biracial children. But let's get into it. And you're Kayla. Kaylin is someone who I've had these conversations with. So I'm going to talk based on what she's told me, and you know her, but we'll get into that. You want to stay tuned to the Black Conversion Show as we dive into these complex, challenging conversations. We also are going to get into the conversation, do men hate women, and do black men hate black women, and how does that show up, and is it true, and what does the proximity of whiteness looks like as it relates to the interactions and power dynamics with relationships? We'll be back here on 92.7 FM WMDX with your girl Brandi Grayson, hostess with the mostest.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth of the Shangri-La dialogue in Singapore warned that China could be an imminent threat.
President Trump and the American people have an immense respect for the Chinese people and their civilization. But we will not be pushed out of this critical region. And we will not let our allies and partners be subordinated and intimidated.
Friday, President Trump announced that tariffs on steel and aluminum imports will double on June 4th to 50%. The Supreme Court allowed the Trump administration to continue moving forward with its plans to roll back the legal status for about 500,000 immigrants that was granted during the Biden administration. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, the former Democratic vice presidential nominee, told a Democratic group today in South Carolina the party's lost its way, including a big chunk of the working class. And air quality in the upper Midwest could be impacted today from wildfire smoke. This is ABC News.
The Brewers in Philly. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Game two of the Brewers and the Phillies at Citizens Bank Park. The Brewers won last night 6-2. Top of the fifth, Christian Yelich at the plate against Phillies reliever Tanner Banks, who had just come into the game on FanDuel Wisconsin.
Yelich at the plate, infield back, first pitch swinging, fly ball to left, sends Kepler back at the wall and gone! First pitch into the ball game and it leaves to stage left. Yelich, his 11th home run of the season, and the Brewers have hung a 5 spot on the Phillies.
And not wasting any time. First pitch.
Yelich with 2 home runs, 4 runs batted in, the Brewers stealing 5 bases. They lead the National League in stolen bases. Manager Pat Murphy.
That is a factor, and, you know, we have to be that type of team. And I don't know that it was the factor tonight as much as it was, the threat of the steal. But I'll take Yelich's 2 homers over the steals.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Hey ho, jazz fans. It's summer, and there's nothing better than outdoor jazz in the summertime in Wisconsin. So if you're in the Madison area, check out the Madison Jazz Festival from June 5th through the 15th. This year's attractions include Emma Dayhuff, the Edwin Doherty Five-Tet, the Emmy Castro Peruvian Jazz Quintet, the Sweet Tooth Jazz Band, and check out Jazz Sunday at the UW-Madison Memorial Union. Aw, yeah. And if you're up in northeast Wisconsin, check out Sundrop Days. Shauna was known for its delicious Sundrop manufacturing and distribution center. The annual festival is held the first week of June every year and kicks off this coming Friday. There's stuff for kids, crafts, live music, and of course, some dynamite soda. That's right, folks. Finally, there is a festival centered around a delicious soft drink, especially the real sugar version in a glass bottle, baby. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
More news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
We are not perfect here at Civic Media. Far be it. Certainly not perfect at this show. But one thing I can assure you of, our owner that I can see right through this glass right now, Sage Weil, has never once told me what to say and encourages us to speak the truth. And that's why, above all else, I'm proud to work for this company. And along with my colleagues, we will bring you what's really happening out there. And if we get it wrong along the way, we'll admit to that and correct ourselves as well.
Catch the Todd Albaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Michael Negron of the Small Business Majority.
You know, the Trump administration thinks that they're doing a solid for small business with their policies. And so having business owners out there talking about how, whether it's tariffs, whether it's potential cuts to health care, how it's going to hurt their bottom line, how it's going to hurt their consumers or their employees. I do think that will have a real impact. Every time he does something, he gets really bad feedback and he retreats in the face of it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, you are back on 92.7 FM with your girl BG. Why did I make myself BG? I don't know, but it sounded good, and I'm trying to go into this rapper feeling. So you're tuned into the Black Conversion Show here on 92.7 FM with Brandi Grayson, your hostess with the mostest and my co-host for the day.
Colin Baruchak.
Okay, and Colin, tell us, the listeners, a little bit who you are in this world in Dane County, because just in case they just tuning in, we just want to recap. Who are you, black man?
I'm, you know, Dane County is a little, Madison, especially downtown Madison, is less diverse than the area where I grew up, which was somewhat diverse.
Yeah.
And you know when it's the Black Excellence Gala, because thank you for bringing that to my neighborhood again.
Okay, right, because you know we bring all the black people out on Black Brilliance Day at the Overture Center. It's the blackest night at the Overture Center. Maybe not compared to the white party or the concert Michael Johnson did years ago, but we get there.
But I moved here. I studied at UW-Madison. Uh-huh. I, like so many other people, I never left after college. Mm-hmm. I started working in the state capitol.
Okay.
As a support staffer.
Okay. What you want to do with that?
Well, I then worked in the administration.
Okay.
In the executive branch of state government. Now I'm on the staff of a state senator who represents the south side of Milwaukee.
Okay, period.
And
they black?
No. So
okay, that's all right.
Right. Right now there's only, if you look at the state legislature, in the state Senate, there's only two.
Yeah.
Or there's three.
Yeah.
Three black members, and one of them's a Republican, actually.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
But sometimes I think I'm going to be a Republican moderate or something, because y'all Democrats better get it right, because I don't be understanding what we be doing out here. Y'all going to make me turn ship. Okay, sorry, Colin. What's about you?
But And that's what I get into, and I like to do public service, and I told you earlier I'm part of the Neighborhood Association. I'm on the chair of the Alcohol License Review Committee here.
Oh, shoot, y'all hear that? We got a black man on the chair. Oh, shoot, I need to apply for me a liquor license.
As of a week ago.
Okay, so. Well, congratulations.
Well, thank you.
We needed us in those spaces. Amen.
I really enjoy it because most of our... or I don't know about most, but many of our applicants are immigrant-owned, minority-owned businesses
who
bring ethnic foods to Madison. And it's not a huge, you know, there's some issues around safety, but most of what my role on the ALRC is promoting diversity in our community and the type of foods and beverages that we have.
All right. I kind of like this brother. I don't even know him, y'all, but I know him now. Okay. And I'm kind of digging it. Okay. So prior to break, we were talking about his experience, like growing up as a black man, identifying as a black man with a white dad and a black mother, and how sometimes his dad, things had to be explained to his dad because he had privileges and he doesn't get, I guess what we said, labeled, you know, or seen as anything other than a white man. Mm-hmm. So he has a different experience. He gets to move in the world differently. So your mom had to teach him, like, actually, our son cannot move like you.
Right.
Right. Anything else you want to add to that conversation? Like, we were talking about food, too, and how.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, one of the things, an example of that is when I first came to, when I was a freshman at UW-Madison, I noticed, I would walk down the street, and, you know, people would cross.
Cross or move, yeah.
Which is a bit, you know, I told my parents that over, you know, my first Thanksgiving back, and my dad said, oh, well, why would they be afraid of you? You don't look like you could hurt a fly.
And it's like,
well,
it's something,
you know, but it's not what it's about.
Yeah.
You know,
and how does that feel though, to have a parent that you love and who, you know, loves you, like your dad was good to you, right?
Yep.
Always present.
Definitely.
And not being able to share or have that kind of relationship to relate to your experiences. So he couldn't necessarily give you advice on how to not internalize it or what to do or how to navigate that. How did that feel for you?
You know, and at times it came across, I think this happens so much now.
Yeah.
This is kind of how racism in general works now broadly, is people say, well, there is no racism.
Yeah.
That's mainly what we're seeing.
Yeah, the denial.
And so, you know, I definitely noticed a difference talking to my mom and dad about stuff like that.
Yeah.
On one hand, with mom, it'd be more validating. The dad, it'd be more like, not.
Yeah.
And so I think I slowly stopped even
talking to him about
bringing
it?
Up that.
Yeah. Because why would you?
Yeah.
Because talking to people, even if you love them or not, and they say, no, that can't be your experience, has to feel even more like almost like re-traumatizing, because the person you love can't get it and you can't have that conversation with them.
Right. And my dad, like, I think a lot of white people really disagree with racism. Yeah. So they really don't think it should happen. And so when it does, their reaction is to like...
They can't understand it. Or
say, no, it can't be. We solved that in 1965.
In 1932, that was no longer... You're tuned into the Black Conversion Show here on 92.7 FM with your girl, Brandi Graceland, and my co-host for the day,
Colin,
we just going to talk about Colin race because, you know, we don't get to talk about mixed race a lot on this show. And I love to always, you know, discuss things from the experience, because I always have my opinion and y'all listening to my opinion. But it's my opinion. And sometimes it ain't even facts. It's just based in my opinion. OK, so one of the things that stand out to me that you said prior to our last break or whatever was, you know, I really enjoyed hanging out with my Black family, like on the holidays. Mm-hmm. Can you give us kind of like the comparison between like your white family hanging out and Black families?
Well,
kind of like my daddy better not be listening to this. You always trying to throw people under the bus.
You know, I think my white family was more privileged, not just in racial, but financially. It's a tough question because I can see it in my head, but putting it into words. I think.
Well, did they have good music?
Oh yeah. so my and on my dad's side, one of the things we would do, I think things were more structured and formal in a way. So you know, we would break out like these printed songbooks on certain holidays and like sing these songs.
Like a little chorus?
Yeah.
Hilarious.
On my mom's side, mom's family, like you walk in and they're, you know, music's playing.
Right.
And
everything's happening.
Yeah.
At once. Kids running around.
Right. Well, and it always felt slightly more relaxed.
Yeah.
And I can't explain it. I think there's comedy about
both sides.
White people being overly formal or overly structured in the way they conduct themselves. And, and you know, I was lucky enough that I could see that there was some truth behind that comedy, you know?
That's real, because as someone who grew up with white folks in my family, I'm adopted. My mom is biracial, white mama. My grandmother was Norwegian. And I mean, my grandma was white, okay? Mm-hmm. And she, you know, Juanita is no longer with us. Rest in peace, Juanita. But when we went to her house, we would have like the casserole and everybody was so quiet. That was so weird to me. Like, how can it be 20 people in this room and you can barely, they're having like their own. So how was your weekend, Donna? I never understood that. How about you, Luke? Is that how your family is?
No. Like, that is not my family's experience one bit. So
what was your family?
My mom's one of eight. Uh-huh. So I don't know if there was ever a quiet day in her household
growing up.
I'm one of 22 cousins on that side. So like anytime the family got together, it was always just
chaos a little bit.
Yeah.
Organized chaos.
Yes,
did y'all have
so
singing books?
We did.
For
Christmas carols. It was always the Christmas carols, and then somebody would be on the piano, and you'd be playing the piano, and then everybody would make sure that you could have the words. But then by the time that the carol books came out, everybody was a little inebriated anyway, so you kind of needed them if you wanted the Christmas carols to sound anything like they were supposed to.
Oh, my God.
So that's how I found them helpful.
That is funny to me. I always thought that was like just some made up thing on TV.
But I can definitely understand. It's 100% real. My dad's side, though, he's one of three. He's the middle. He's got two sisters, one older, one younger, and a little bit more rigid, though, and stuffy, but just not overly formal, but like also my dad's parents were always just kind of a little bit more reserved, and so those holidays were quieter just because A, there was less people, and B, just the nature of my grandparents there.
I love this conversation here on the Black Conversion Show. We're just kind of sharing our experiences. Well, they're sharing their experience with their white side, okay? Mm-hmm. White culture, how it looks, how it feels, and just talking about the difference between, you know, Black and white culture. And what's interesting to me, what you said, Colin, is like, hey, we went to Black folks' house, it was less formal, and the music was already on. You weren't waiting for a music book, right?
Right.
And there was food everywhere because we don't know how to cook. for 5 or 10 people. Because why do you got 10 pans of macaroni and cheese, right? And why you got to have 10 assortments of meat? You got fried chicken, fried catfish, turkey, ham, braising this, some ribs, and it's Thanksgiving. Like, where did this all come from?
You know what else I noticed is the desserts, I think, are much better on the black side.
And, we do have a little more flavor, you know?
I was a bit, when the only thing at Christmas time is a kind of dry cookie, that's disappointing.
Oh, I'm dead. That's your experience too, Luke. Look at Luke's face. He was like,
No, the desserts are always, I don't know. I haven't spent a whole
enough
lot of holidays
time with black folks.
No. And so,
I got to invite you over, Luke.
Yeah, so I'll have to really be able to experience it before I can compare. But I'm a fan. I don't like pie, so
you like
I'm kind of I'm not a dessert snob, but like there's certain desserts where I'm just like, I don't want that, and that's usually what pie is, a huge holiday thing.
Yeah,
so I would just get like the cookies.
I'm the opposite.
Cookies there's a big Milwaukee Cops is the custard. Mm-hmm. I would always volunteer to bring
that
custard, so then I had some, you know,
this
some
is
sweet
hilarious.
Treats that way.
And sure. Then I've been to white people houses on holidays, and they have all assortments of cookies, and they spend all day baking these cookies, and I'll be like, where is the flavor in these cookies, and why do all the cookies taste the same? Like, they look different.
That's not the case of my house. There's a lot of good cookies. I love the peanut butter ones with the Hershey Kisses on top. Those are my favorite.
Black people, we be having peach cobbler, sweet potato pie, apple pie, upside down cake, cherry pie, rum cake. We caramel. We just got 100 different desserts, and I don't even like desserts, but I do like peach cobbler. And I have to admit, I'm pretty good at making it. So maybe one day for a holiday we'll hang out. But yeah, here on the Black Conversion Show, we're just listening to, or you're listening to me, Brandi Grayson, your hostess with the mostest, and with my co-host
Colin Berusha.
I just decided to digress from our topics because I thought it was very interesting to have someone as a co-host that has a black mother and a white dad. So I just wanted to get into like the experiences of someone biracial who identifies as black. And the thing that my opinion about biracial kids and like interracial relationships is I actually think this might sound, y'all gonna get mad, y'all gonna call Civic Media and say, why do y'all have her on air? I'm just so tired of her BS. But the one thing I have noticed is that biracial kids raised by black women have a better understanding or have more validation for navigating the system of white supremacy in their race. Whereas children who are often raised by white women have a harder time. And I'm not saying that this is absolute fact. I'm just saying from what I've heard. And the reason being is because a lot of times fathers aren't as active, I think, in that kind of discussions, you know, just kind of like the dynamics, the power dynamics often in families is that women are doing the nurturing, the validating, the let's talk about your feelings, let's discuss this. And then, like Colin said, as his white dad often couldn't validate that for him. So we're going to talk about that a little bit more when we return. But more importantly, I invited Colin so we can talk about do men hate women. So we're going to get into that topic and the complexity of it for black people today here on the Black Conversion Show, 92.7 FM. We are also going to get into the politics. I want to talk about Jasmine Crockett. I just love this woman. I don't like to talk about Trump, but we might get into him too a little bit, because how could you not talk about Trump when you're talking about black politics? So stay tuned here on the Black Conversion Show. We'll be back in a jiff.
Friday nights are for fish fry at the Lazy Yolf Lounge. Enjoy baked or fried cod, deep fried bluegill and lake perch, warm bread out of the oven with some tasty side dishes. Plus, the Lazy Yolf Lounge is a great place for lunch with great daily specials, soups made from scratch, and fast, friendly service. The Lazy Yolf Lounge, 1617 North Stoughton Road in Madison. Find specials, menus, and more at LazyYolfLounge.com.
Destination marketing organizations are working to ensure Wisconsin tourism is stronger than ever. Their work boosts Wisconsin's economy, supports jobs, and improves our residents' quality of life. Sponsored by Destinations Wisconsin.
May is Mental Health Awareness Month, a time to pause and remember your mental health is as important as your physical health. Jeff Olson's son struggled with stress and anxiety, and this father from the UP says he's speaking out to save lives.
He came to us, asked for help as a junior in high school, fought it for 3 more years, had a couple suicide attempts in between there. The anxiety and depression was too much for him, and he ended up taking his life. My wife and I felt the need to speak up and not hide this in hopes of educating people so they didn't have to go through what my son Daniel went through.
If you're struggling, you are not alone. Reaching out is a sign of strength, not weakness. The Suicide or Crisis Lifeline is available 24/7. You could call or text 988 anytime. Again, 988. Let's choose to connect and care for ourselves and others this month and every month. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
This is for people who watched me anchoring the news at Channel 13. My last day at TV 13 was 20 years ago yesterday.
Oh, I'm old now too.
Well, yeah, that was my whole point.
And I was too when you stopped working at TV.
That's what I get all the time now is people come up and they go, oh, were you on TV? I'm like, yeah. And then I go, don't say it. I watched you when I was a little kid. I'm like, yikes.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Okay, keep it funky here on 92.7 FM. WMDX, you're tuned into the Black Conversion Show with your girl, Brandi Grayson, the hostess with the mostest, and my co-host for the day,
Colin Berusha.
Okay, we are in a house discussing race and all the good stuff that we always discuss here on the Black Conversion Show, because how do you get away from race when you're dealing with Brandi Grayson? You can almost not ever. Okay, so I don't have a problem with it, and neither should you. But today, we want to continue the conversation. Before break, we were talking about my opinion, right, and analysis that the experience of biracial folks is a little different when they have a white mother versus a black mother. And I think we'll get more into that topic next week. I'm going to invite one of my biracial friends on to co-host, because who's better to talk about the topic than someone who identifies as such, raised by a white woman, and just talk about the challenges and maybe some of the advantages of having a white mother or white dad and navigating the systems and your ability to see things that maybe a black person cannot see because of different experiences and how we grow up. But we'll get into that next week because we're running out of time like always. But I do want to get into, before we get out of here today, is the question that we all are interested in. Do men hate women? Luke, do me a favor. Let's hear this little clip and then we'll go from there. And Colin, I'll ask you your thoughts from there.
Deeply wrong with the heterosexual men. They hate women. They want the woman to cook for them, clean for them, have sex with them, but they don't want to respect them. They don't want to provide for them. They don't want to be loyal to them. And we can't say these men are gay undercover, because gay men are loyal to women. They love women. They compliment women. They're always around women, but something's deeply wrong with the conscious mind or the subconscious mind of the heterosexual man. And then you allow these women to have your children, and then you scream you hate them, and then you leave them, and then you don't provide for them, and then you get older, and then you go after a woman half your age, and then you break that woman, and then when she gets to the age around 29 to 35, you call her bitter and ran through because you chose a young woman that trusted you, maybe because she had father issues, and you broke her. You men hate women. But you want these women to have your children. You want them to be 100% loyal to you. And then you start to complain about providing. And then you tell a woman she should meet me where I'm at. What the heck is wrong with you men? You men deep down in your subconscious mind have been programmed to hate women. And the bad part about it, your sons are learning not from what you say, but what you do. So the way you disrespected their mother, the only example of a man they had was you. Now they're breaking their women. And the cycle repeats. Who really benefits from this? All praise is due to the Most High.
All right. He said a mouthful, didn't he, Colin?
Oh, yeah.
Luke, who is that?
It's from the account Yada on Instagram.
Yada. I don't know who these people
Y-A-D-A.
Are. Y-A-D-A.
Y-A-D-A.
Oh, Y-A-D-A. I just want y'all to know I don't have Instagram. I do because it's connected to Facebook, but I don't even know how to use Instagram. I don't know how to use anything except for Facebook. I'm going to do better because Drew Wall said he going to help me. Okay, amen. But anyway, back to the topic at hand. Do men hate women? What are your feelings or thoughts after listening to that clip, Colin?
Mm-hmm. Well, unfortunately, I think I agree with the sentiment. Not that I don't hate women, but
there's
evidence of exactly what that what Count Yada was saying in that clip, and you can see that on social media. One of the the most telling is how enraged some men get at the fact that some women do OnlyFans and sell risque pictures of themselves. Mm-hmm. And you got to wonder, it's like, that's, it, you know, they want that for free.
Yeah.
You know?
So you mean they mad because they can't just have it, and they mad that they're trying to make money off of their own body.
Right.
Yeah.
And so nothing else is free, but but that's, I think that's where I see it. It's not universal. I don't know for sure, but I wonder if it's social media is making these kind of things worse, because that's typically where I see the sentiments expressed that Count Yada was speaking of.
Yeah, like, and the question is social media making it worse or making it so that people have a platform to actually express what they felt all along? You know, so that's a good question. And I think so. Like, I often struggle with this idea because even as a woman who's a professional woman, like, I work a lot, and the desire and need of partners to want to have the woman cook and clean and cater and still do those things, like in the 1920s and 40s and 50s, when women was unable to work, right? Remember, there was time when women couldn't work, we couldn't vote, we couldn't go and get a credit card without the permission of our husband, and we couldn't even sign a lease without a husband, right? So those kind of residues, I think, in our culture is still very, I don't know, like, in there, you know?
Right. You know, and I saw this Reddit thread where the question was, you know, young men, would you want women to, would you be okay and willing to provide for your wife and family?
Mm-hmm.
And most of the comments were saying, oh, yeah, as long as she respects me, as long as she respects me. I'm like scrolling, like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
You know, the real obvious answer is very few people, men or women, could actually afford in this economy to support an entire adult plus children maintain a house. That's just not financially feasible. And I was waiting for someone to say that.
Say that. Yeah, but it never happened.
Right.
Yeah, because the double-sized sword is like men can't provide. But I think that's the question that I want to explore next week in part two, is what really is provision? Because oftentimes we think provision is financial, but I will offer something different, that provision is actually safety for women, right? Men who provide safety in terms of making sure that your partner, whether you're married or not, can be safe in her soft femininity. And I want to get into what is femininity, what is masculinity, and how does that show up in these relationships where we are saying that men hate women? And of course, it's, like you said, this isn't universal, but there's so much to be talked about. And of course, I ran out of time because I got hooked into the conversation about Thanksgiving and pies. But we will continue this conversation. So don't go anywhere. I mean, go somewhere, but return next week as we record part two here on 92.7 FM WMDX with your girl Brandi Grayson, the Black Conversion Show, and my co-host today,
Colin Baruchak.
See you next week.
See you next week.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Matt Miller, Milwaukee-based film critic. The film Sinners, the more distance I have from it, the more I liked it. Is that an Oscar film?
I think there is a love for what Sinners is doing, that a studio movie was this interesting and creative and thoughtful, but also entertaining. This is not the last you will hear about Sinners this year. I'd be shocked if it doesn't get a Best Picture nomination.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The John and Gordy Show.
We have quite a selection of hearing aids. Bluetooth, of course, and AI. We're Android robots.
You've been assimilated into the Borg.
We are into the Borg. Be kind of cool.
The Borg hearing aid.
If they haven't, we should latch on to that. The John and Gordy Borg hearing aid devices at a special discount.
Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. More cross-examinations ahead Monday for the former personal assistant to Sean Diddy Combs at his federal sex trafficking trial. ABC's Aaron Katursky.
She described being made to work 24 hours a day for 8 years, sleepless nights, being made to do everything from cracking his knuckles to writing his next movie.
New Orleans Pelicans basketball star Zion Williamson denying lawsuit allegations of sexual, physical, emotional, and financial abuse during a years-long relationship with a woman. ABC News' Melissa Adan in Los Angeles.
Because this is a civil complaint, no criminal charges have been filed. The plaintiff is seeking monetary and punitive damages, and a Pelican spokesperson deferred comment to Williamson's legal team.
Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth reassured allies in the Indo-Pacific today they will not be left alone to face increasing military pressure from China. This is ABC News.